So make use of this time to ask or discuss whatever Dhamma that you want to understand. Eh? So you are free to ask me any question if you want to. Eh? Today we got two friends from Alostar, my hometown, homestead. They flew down from Penang actually. That one is Brother Chong and the wife Puan Chi. They are retired teachers. They are my physics teacher's colleague, good friend. So they came all the way to attend the Thursday class. Then they thought tomorrow was Friday talk at Klang. What is reality? So actually, because of what they said, I thought it was tomorrow. So to clarify, please, the talk is next Friday. No, next Friday. We make a mistake because Sui An told my wife, Puan Chi and Brother Chong coming down Thursday, they will stay my place. Then they attend the Thursday class, Friday talk, then Sumeru. So I all the while thought Saturday talk is today, tomorrow. Friday talk is tomorrow. Then suddenly Brother Gan, luckily he saw the WhatsApp, he called me. Oh, you saw, Kelly saw. Then Brother Gan called me. He said, Brother Teo, he's somehow very, very polite. He said, I will talk tomorrow or 26th. Then I checked. Oh yeah, my calendar mark 26th. I said, oh, sorry. I said, I will inform the WhatsApp group. So because of that, I managed to clarify in time. Otherwise, tomorrow, everybody go down there. Then we end up no talk. We normally go Kim Hyo there, we don't go work at there. So a lot of things is meant to be, will be. But we intend to, we see how it goes. You mean you're got nothing tomorrow? Oh, change to Wednesday. Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't simply change. Oh, no. Because you know why? It so happens, Sui An told me today, if it's 26, then on the 3rd, another talk. So, 2 talk simultaneously for 2 weeks. So, if you include tomorrow, we were 3 in a row. So we just let the original schedule be what it is. Better that way. Otherwise, it can actually create more, situation that may not be so conducive. That's why I say we accord and flow. Whatever will be. Meant to be, will be. Not meant to be, will also be. So if you accord and flow, things will be just the way it is. That's why the topic is, what is reality? So if you understand that title, which I want to ask you all, who asked this topic, ask for this topic to be spoken. What is it that you want to understand? So this reality thing is very, very, I should say, deep in its meaning. So it depends on your understanding, at what level you understand it. For a normal human being, when you talk about reality, what is reality? Maybe we can start some pre-discussion before the talk. What is your understanding? What is reality? I write on the board. Leslie, you just come in time. So this topic is very interesting. What is reality? Just now we had dinner. Puan Chi brought out this topic. He said she would like to listen to this talk. But she cannot because she already flying back after that Saturday visit. And she mentioned about this title. Then my friend, Si Yong Wei Si, Brother Hung Ade, he said, what is the meaning? What is reality? And now I want you all to tell me, what is that meaning of the title there? And then I tell you what I tell him, very simple. Because he is mainly Chinese educated, not much. Language is not so good. But I use Hokkien to explain to him, very simple. What is the understanding? What is reality? What is that word, reality? What does it really mean? What is it? No. Reality is not the day-to-day practice. You see, when I say, this is a reality, means what? It's actually happening, understand? You can say it's a fact, it's a truth, understand? This is what is actually happening, understand? So it's called a reality, understand? But there are other more penetrative, deep meaning within. So the best explanation is whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth, is the reality. Correct or not? Whatever that can explain the way things are, that is the truth, that is the reality. And so if you cannot explain the way things are, it cannot be a reality then. So what is it that can explain the way things are? Dhamma is one of the good answer. But Dhamma, you have to go deeper. Because otherwise, you only take the words. What is Dhamma? Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha, okay? What does the Buddha teach? Oh, that one is not the real understanding. That one is one aspect of his teaching. You see, mental and physical phenomena is a very general topic. Understand? But what is Dhamma? You always call it Buddha Dhamma, isn't it? The teaching of the Buddha. What does the Buddha teach? Oh, that one is a characteristic. The essence of his teaching is what? Four noble truths. So what he teach is actually the truth. Understand? Dhamma is the truth. That's why he explains the way things are, reality. That's why he teach you a type of meditation to see things as they are. Understand? Not according to your views and opinion and your conditioning. Understand? If you see things with all your views, opinion and conditioning, you are not seeing truth. You are not seeing reality. Understand? You are seeing from your own perspective of truth, understand? Truth according to you, understand? Understand? That's why those who understand, they say, truth is. You know what that meaning, huh? Truth is. Means truth is an aspect of nature. It's not your truth, not my truth. Your truth, my truth is a relative truth. Truth according to you, understand? Or truth according to me, understand? But within nature, the Buddha explained, there are laws that govern life and existence. That's why the Pancha Niyamas, understand? The five universal order. You got the Uttu Niyama, Bija Niyama. These are physical law, scientific law. Then you got the three spiritual law, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. So these are the five great universal order that governs life and existence. So these are nature's law. Understand? That's why nature's law will explain to you reality. The way things are, follow nature's law. Understand? That's why the Buddha is very wise. He said, this whole universe, you only need to understand these five universal order. Then you will understand life. So what is right view? Under Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha teach. First path factor is right view, right understanding. Right view, right understanding with regards to what? These three spiritual law. That's why the first right view is law of karma. Every day he asks you to reflect, contemplate. The five daily contemplation, the last one. Karma niyama is the first right view. We are all born of karma, head of karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma. That is the first right view. Second right view is what? Huh? What is the second right view? Huh? The pancha niyama, what is it? After karma is what? Chitta niyama. Chitta niyama is nature's law, order of the mind. Understand? That's why the Buddha said you have to understand how you function as a human being, like you said just now, form and mind. Understand? How does that mind function? It follows a law. Understand? And what is that law? Psychic order is another one. How your mind function? The Buddha teach what? Dependent origination. Understand? The 12 link. Paticca Samuppada. Understand? That's why right view with regards to how your mind function. That dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada, is a right view. Understand? Then you understand what is this form of mind all about. Understand? Who you are, what you are. And there is no atta inside there. Everything is dependent arising. Understand? Condition arising. Causal phenomena. Empty. Non-self. Understand? That is the most powerful right view that the Buddha taught. And the third right view is what? The last pancha niyama is what? No, no. That one is the mind. The last one. After karma niyama, citta niyama? Dhamma. Ah! Dhamma niyama means all the dhamma that he teach, all the truth, the essential dhamma that he teach. That's why he teach the Four Noble Truths. That's all. Why did he specially name this truth as noble? Noble truth is about this truth, when you realize or understand, it can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called a noble truth. That's why Dhamma is truth. All his teaching points towards the truth. So under Dhamma Niyama, the third right view, the most powerful and most important one is the Four Noble Truths. Understand that? When you have right view regards to the Four Noble Truths, means you understand all the Four Noble Truths. The first noble truth explains what? The noble truth of suffering, understand? The reality of life and existence, the eight conditions that can bring about suffering if you encounter them or you confront them without wisdom. That is the first noble truth, understand? What are the realities of life and existence? Each and every one of us, regardless of who you are, how powerful you are, you have to go through life, you have to experience life. That's why you have to confront birth, old age, sickness and death, correct? Separation from loved one, from all your possessions and whatever that you hold on to dearly. You have to have relationship. You have to be with people whom you don't like. Then you have to face the world, understand? When things don't go your way, when your expectation is not met, you become afflicted, miserable, you suffer. Then in short, the Buddha said, if you deludedly cling on to this form of mind, five aggregate of form of mind, this so-called human being, thinking that it's you, that is sakayadity, self-delusion. And you attach and cling on to this five aggregate of form of mind, which he called the grasping aggregate, upadanakanda, suffering will be the result. This is how you should understand his teaching, understand? That's why from the first three right view, you penetrate all his teaching, you understand all his teaching, and that is reality. Pointing towards the reality, understand? That's why under Abhidhamma he teach the four ultimates, Paramatta Satcha. I will explain that at the talk. So, reality is whatever that can explain the way things are, understand? So what is not reality? That's why I told you how I explained to him. You can ask Panchi. At the table, very simple. You want to know that? You want to know what is reality and what is not reality in the mundane sense. You go through life, you always complain. If this guy hasn't come and see me, this thing would not have happened. Is that a reality? This is not reality. It never happened. If, understand? If I have known that it will go up the share, I will buy at that price. That I was sold at that price. It's not a reality, is it? Where you couldn't understand and you couldn't act of it and you couldn't materialize it. That's why it never happened. Isn't it? Everything is if. Or but. Human beings suffering come from this. Where you get angry? If you had not disturbed me, I would not have missed the appointment. If you had not come and see me and tell me all this, I would have not gone there, the accident would not have happened. Everything also they try to blame and justify. Use what? If. That's why whenever you use if and but, you don't understand life. You are not confronting the reality. You are projecting your thought. Understand? You create non-reality. And this is the mundane way of seeing reality. But when you come to spiritual, reality is another sense. Understand? Reality is when you see things as they are, with the silent mind, without thought. That is reality. Means what? Thing is just the way it is, without words, without comment. Then you understand clearly what that thing is, not through your memory, not through your conditioning, not through your views and opinion. There is nobody there to judge, to react, and to comment. That's why you see things as they are. You cannot see things as they are when you have a lot of thought, a lot of heedless thinking, a lot of sankara going inside there. When you are lost in thought, means what? You are preoccupied with that thought, understand? That thinking. That's why you don't have the attention or the awareness to see what is happening within the moment. Understand? That's why when thought arises, your mind gets distracted. So reality is like that. Reality means this moment like that, you aware. Understand? When you're aware, you experience life. Understand? That's why you can live life to the fullest. Understand? You can experience all of the wonder and beauty of life within that moment. Understand? But human beings never do that. Understand? You know what they do or not? Moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? You are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. You never with the moment, I tell you. Understand? You think a lot. Understand? You worry a lot. Then you plan a lot, understand? Tomorrow must do what? But as you create this thought, you hardly aware how your hand move, how all the action, everything move. Your body and mind is seldom together. That's why you don't have kaya nupasana. How can you go into vedana nupasana? How can you go into citta nupasana? All this is theory, no use. You think you do for foundation of mindfulness. Satipatthana, oh, then you open up Abhidhamma, then you do all those command and all those things. To me, no meaning. Because you can't even be mindful. Kaya Nupassana also not there. When you have Kaya Nupassana, your body and mind move as one without thought. Understand? You are most of the time aware, fully aware. That is the real sati. And that one, no thought one. Understand? So, truth and reality has a lot of very deep meaning. Huh? Okay? So I better stop here. Huh? Otherwise, nothing to talk on next Friday. Huh? But you will be surprised. Huh? Next Friday, the talk can be a different thing. Totally different thing. I also don't know. What I speak, I also don't know. Because there and then, depending on the condition, depending on the situation, then it manifests. Because I cannot prepare anything. If I prepare, means what? Huh? Means what? I follow notes. And what is notes? Memory. Knowledge. Dhamma is not a memory. Dhamma is not a knowledge. Dhamma is alive. Every moment, every situation is different. Everyone is different. That's why every question is different. You can use the same word. What is reality? And every time I talk, it's different. Yeah, you came to the class so many sessions, you know. We only focus on these two, mainly. Five hindrance and five spiritual faculty. And you have seen it repeated many times. But every time the approach is different, so the meaning is different, the clarity is different. So that's why the same Dhamma can be approached from many, many situations and anger. And it is only through all this sharing that you can have a clear picture of what this thing is. Otherwise, I tell you, it will be book knowledge. Like just now, Wan Chi was at my house, we were discussing. After I explained this to, then I tell her why most people get trapped. Because when they come to understand, let's say finally, it's the mental hindrance that hinders their mind from becoming peaceful, what they do? They try to control, suppress, and do funny thing with this hindrance, understand? The Buddha's teaching is not like that. The Buddha's teaching say, these hindrances are there because you lack the opposite five, understand? The five spiritual faculties. And they are one pair, understand? But what you study in the text is like separate thing, understand? And they teach you what? To balance the five spiritual faculties. Correct not? You heard a lot, innit? You must balance it, innit? I leave it to you to find out for yourself. Who balance? And why you balance? If the thought is actively balancing how you meditate, you don't go and balance anything. The spiritual faculty you just cultivate. Cultivate until it becomes power, balas, unshakable. Then it will come into place. With the spiritual faculty, you will understand the teaching. Your mind will be transformed from a heedless mind to a heedful mind. Understand? So don't be gullible. Don't just accept everything that people teach you or tell you. Investigate, find out. Even what I say, you go and investigate and go and find out. So that you do with understanding. And the most important thing about meditation is you have to do with understanding. Okay? Those who just came in, don't worry. It's recorded. You never miss anything. So, another 2-3 minutes. You got any more questions? Anything you want to clarify, you can ask. Otherwise, we can prepare ourselves. You silence your mind. Maintain relaxed state of body and mind, then you silence. You can reflect, contemplate on the Buddha and his teaching so that you can stabilize your faith, your sadha. So with a very calm mind, with very strong sadha, you compose your mind. Then after that, it should have this ability to arise the second spiritual faculty, which is virya, spiritual zeal. After understanding who the Buddha is and how wonderful the teaching is, you determine to walk this path, to learn this teaching. Because it can make a big difference to your life. It can transform you completely. It can bring about freedom from all suffering. Then life becomes different. There is meaning to life. Then you understand life, you know how to live life. And life becomes something so different, so full of happiness, full of joy, full of peace, full of understanding. No more suffering, no more misery, no more fear, worry, anxiety, and all those emotional negativity or insecurity and all those things. Such a life is so different, isn't it? From heedless to heedful living. You can just develop the spiritual faculty, your mind transforms, it becomes heedful. And that is what you need to actually meditate. Without the spiritual faculty, you can try your luck. Joyce, you come in at the right time. 8:30 exactly, so you can start. So no need bell, we look for Joyce. Okay, we will do our puja now. You compose your mind, silence your mind, then develop the faith, sadha, virya, then pay respect mindfully, means body and mind as one. With the faith, you just, with sati, body and mind, you bow, then you rise. You want to chant, you can chant. Homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one, then you bow. Then when you are skillful, as you recite, you bow. Understand? Can be done also. So it depends. You do according to what you are capable. Okay? So now we will do the respect to the Buddha. Then later on we will start the puja. Those that direction, use the Buddha Rupang up the wall. Those facing in front, you can face this statue or Rupang. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani Sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kami sumichachava viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Usavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay my respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, sadhu. Just relax yourself, body and mind, completely relax. Remember the four support for meditation. First is relax. Always remember when you meditate, if you cannot relax, you cannot meditate. If you can completely relax body and mind, means you are stress-free. And as a relaxed person is very peaceful, very calm. So learn to relax. And relaxation has to be done into every phase of your meditation. Every stage, when you go into concentration or silence or whatever, you think you already relaxed. I tell you, you are far from the real relaxed state. When you finally understand what that relaxed state is, you know what relaxed state is or not? Huh? You want to know or not? Huh? Zero stress. Can or not? Zero stress, physically and mentally, completely free. That is the real deep relaxed state, then your mind state also completely free. That is real relax. And I can tell you, most human beings, you are very heedless. You got a lot of stress and attachment you cannot see. You can't even become peaceful, hardly one moment of peace. When you try to meditate, you try, you think a lot. You find it so difficult to even be mindful of your breathing or any object of meditation. Yeah. Understand? You can only have some form of concentration or focus when you are doing something you like. Understand? Like you like to play card game, gambling that time, or you very attentive, or you like mahjong, you very attentive. Apart from that, you are hardly aware. You hardly have the attention to be aware of what is going on. So meditation is about understanding this mind, how to train this mind so that it is no longer heedless, so that it can be in a state of original silence. Actually, when you are born, that is the meditative mind. But you forgot that mind, because your conditioning, your views, your opinion, you are so conditioned since young to use thought, until thought becomes so rampant. It proliferates into your entire existence, until you forgot about that there is another state which was before the thought. Another type of living without thought. Just aware. When you are a child, zero memory, the child is very naive, very innocent. That's why they are very cute, no cunningness. So you see that they never lie to you, they don't have any cunningness because there is no memory, nothing. They just aware. And if there is no hunger, no problem, they are very happy. But to get that state for living being like very difficult nowadays. A moment of peace is like so difficult to come by. But you are a cultivator. Every moment is so beautiful. Every moment is so meaningful, so peaceful. And you can see the big difference between heedful living and heedless living. You are definitely determined to train your mind to be heedful. You will never be heedless anymore. Then this is the teaching, meditation, that can bring about real transformation. That can bring about the total understanding of life and bring about the good life. Okay? So you look at the four support. I only talk about the first one, the four important support for meditation. Look at the whiteboard. First one is relax. Now you understand. Relax initially body and mind, where it must harmonize so that you are without stress. Where you come here to train your mind to recuperate, to become peaceful, to develop all the positive well-being inside you, positive energy. That's why you radiate metta, well-being to all beings, including your own form and mind, your own nature. Then as you train your mind, you silence your mind, you develop inner peace leading to inner well-being. This positive energy will transform your immune system, that it will build the immune system you need. It will improve your health, that it will help you recover from your sickness and your disease. Because without stress, with positive energy field, especially metta, loving kindness and well-being, all your cells will recuperate. The scientists can tell you. You put water sample under good vibration, good thought process, the crystal come out very beautiful, very, very beautifully aligned. So 80% of our body is water, anasana. So if you don't have right thought, beautiful thought, good vibration, inner peace and inner well-being, your whole immune system will go down, anasana. Your bodily water will have funny crystal inside there. That's why people who got stress easily develop cancer and all those things, where their cell become like mutated. So after you learn how to relax, every stage of your meditation as you go in, you must do this relaxation. Okay? Then always remember the second support. You don't go and simply focus, concentrate, and do all those funny things. Eh? You want to experience them, okay. Eh? Then after that, remember, whatever state that arises, relax into it. Then maintain awareness, understand or not? The second support is aware. Aware means silent. Just aware. Don't try to know anything. Don't try to note and do anything. Just silent. That silent mind will understand what is going on. Because this nature, together with the consciousness that is trapped in this body, is sensitive and connected to the sense bases. Understand not? All of your five physical senses, upon contact, sense or consciousness will arise. Then it is your mind that input the content. If you are not silent, you cannot understand what is going on. You cannot see clearly. The whole dependent origination, you only know theory. You cannot see the real happening inside your own meditation. The real meditation is to silent, to observe with the silent mind. That silent will understand everything without words. Yeah. So second support awareness is very important. Just silent, aware. Don't try to do anything. Just silent. That silent will allow you to understand a lot of things. Well, that is the investigative mind. That is the meditative mind without views and opinion, without conditioning. That is the mind that can see things as they are, can experience truth and reality, like I explained just now. Understand not? Not with all your Dhamma knowledge, all your conditioning, and you try to meditate inside there. And who is the meditator? The thought with all the memory, the conditioning, and the Dhamma. And that one look for Dhamma. Understand not? If you do that, you can go and try. Yeah? I don't want to comment. You find out yourself what happened. Yeah? Because thought-based meditation cannot realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. You need to be silent to realize the truth, to awaken to the truth, to understand what is true, what is reality. So meditation only need this understanding. Then after that, the other two are not so critical. The third one, of course, is 24 hour I put there. There are two type of meaning there. 24 hour means you stabilize your mindfulness until it's continuous, like 24 hour. The second meaning is you stabilize your mindfulness to cultivate four foundations of mindfulness continuously and the Noble Eightfold Path and the Sangha. Within the Noble Eightfold Path is the four foundations of mindfulness. So when you train your mind, when you stabilize your sati and use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you become heedful. You become what they call, you follow the advice of the Buddha to become heedful. And that is what Appamada is. The constantly meditative and ever mindful. These two combine. Constantly meditative means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Ever mindful means continuous mindfulness. That's why your meditation is to train your mind to have this continuity of mindfulness. Then you have to continue from this sitting posture into your daily life. Bring forth this trained mind into your daily life. And that is what meditation is all about. Then the last part is, you won't do until later. Until you have penetrated very deep into the Dhamma. Until you have developed the awakening. That one is trust. Trust means there is no meditator. You trust your nature. Your nature meditates by itself. No thought involved. One. Fully aware, relaxed, completely relaxed and aware. And that nature just meditates. And to do that, you must really, really have the silent mind. Completely silent. So don't try to understand that until later when you have the condition. Then you can ask question or talk to me, then we can maybe discuss it further. Huh? You focus on the first three. You can do the first three, you're very good already. Okay, so now we are off the light. Huh? Those who already know how to meditate, yeah? You straight away start your meditation. Then for those who are new, who need instruction, maybe I just briefly go through it. Huh? Okay. So initially, make sure you have a stable posture. Yeah? Then make sure your backbone is straight. then just breathe in, breathe out naturally and relax every part. Body and mind completely relaxed, silent everything. Then close your eyes if you can. Then maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. Feel, just feel, don't think. This mind sweeping method is a skillful means to actually decondition your heedless thinking, so that when you feel and just aware, then relax, it will decondition the heedless thinking. Your hindrance all were like at bay, cannot come out and become active. So you start with your forehead, feel, relax every part. If there's any tension, any stress, you just relax, relax and relax them completely. Then you feel your eye muscle do the same. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just relax them, soothingly relax, feel it, soothingly relax. Don't verbalize, just feel, relax. Then after that, you move down to your facial muscle, do the same, relax every strand of it. Then you use another skillful means to help you relax deeper and further. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there's a lot of joy. When there is joy, you are naturally happy and relaxed. Then your facial muscle, every part, will be in a state of relax. Then you can radiate metta, develop well-being within your own form of mind. You can recite, follow what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the entire body and mind, the entire being, having this well-being within every cells within your form of mind. Completely relax and having this well-being. You can repeat it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite body, you feel the body. When you recite mind, you feel the mind. When you recite well-being, feel the well-being really within your physical and mental being, your entire being. Then you continue by radiating, may this body and mind of mine be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May its thought process or mental states too be free from all enmity, ill will and untrouble. May it too keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts, your heart. Then you radiate this same metta to your loved ones and to all kayanamitas and all beings within this vicinity. May all my loved ones, together with all the kayanamitas, Dharma friends, and all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be calm and peaceful, be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this metta to all beings within the entire Subhangjaya. May all beings within the whole of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then our solar system, then our galaxy, then the whole universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. May all beings be well and happy, peaceful. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful. You can come back to your facial muscle. Then you just silence everything, relax and feel. Then you move your attention down to your neck, your shoulder, feel and relax. Hand back to shoulder, feel and relax. Then you move your attention to your heart. This is a very important location within your body. This is where the seat of consciousness arises and passes away. This is where your life force arises and passes away. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. So you just silence your mind completely and feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration. You just silence and stay with it. Don't do anything. Just allow it to be. When you are silent, you become very sensitive. You will hear the ticking of the clock and many of the other vibrations very clearly. Even your own heartbeat. But if you are new, you have not stabilized your meditation, your mindfulness is still not refined, then you just relax every part within your heart. Just like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart area and just relax, relax and relax. But if you train this daily, diligently, 3 times a day minimum, then do your daily mindfulness, then very fast, your silent mind, you will understand. You will come to experience them. Then when you experience them, you will be able to detect your heartbeat or any vibration within your body. Wherever you put your awareness, it will be aware. So you relax every part. Then you move the attention down to your stomach. Feel the same. Relax. No thought. Feel. Relax. Abdomen. Feel. Relax. Those who are doing rising and falling, now you do it differently. You don't go and look for rising and falling. You just silence your mind and just aware around abdomen area. Don't try to know anything. Just silent. Wait till the silent mind detect the rising and falling. When you are really silent, that rising and falling will come to you. You don't go and look for the phenomena. You don't go and note anything. Within that silence, you will understand the reality. You will understand clearly what that rising and falling phenomena is without words. You try it. If you want to prove a point, you do it. No verbalization, just silence. For those who are not doing rising falling, you can just skip, feel, relax, then you move on to your buttock, move on to your leg. You feel and relax every part. Then you can reverse the mind sweeping method from your leg. Feel, relax, buttock, do the same. Feel, relax. Then your abdomen, silent, feel, relax. Body, stomach, feel, relax. Chest area, feel, relax. Then shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Neck, then facial muscle. Eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. So you only need to stabilize the awareness or the mindfulness that you have developed, the peace within. Experience the well-being and the peace within. Your vibration will be very good. You will be very calm. You just relax and silence everything. Don't try to know anything. Don't try to even meditate. Yeah, the meditator is the thought. Just be aware of the silence. When you can be aware of the silence, that is your true mind, without thought, just silent. Then for those who want to train it further, if you need a skillful mind, like anapanasati or whatever, then you can straight away move into anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. So like the Buddha said, maintain attention or awareness in front of your nostril. Don't go and look for the breath. Allow the breath to go in and out naturally. Then the moment your awareness detects that breathing, the mind, awareness, and the breath move as one. Then, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. If you are familiar with the Thai tradition, you can use Buddha to help you. Breathing in, put. Breathing out, do. It's up to you. These are skillful means to train the mind. For those who are not used to anapanasati, you need to be patient. You just have to maintain this training, aware of the breathing. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, bring it back. You can expect this mind to wander off many, many times initially when you are new. But you are patient enough. After a little while, this anapanasati will start to gain momentum and it will start to gain strength. Then you will experience the mindfulness of the in and out breath very naturally, very peacefully. Then as anapanasati progresses, you continue to relax into it. As you relax without thought, piti will arise. Piti is spiritual calmness, spiritual bliss, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture. And you can experience this piti very nice. Initially, it's very nice. Initially, experience it. Don't worry. Don't worry about what people say. Don't attach and all things. Experience it. Then when you experience it, if you continue to relax into it, you will not attach because you know how to relax. As you relax into it, the absorption, the piti, will become more and more refined, more and more refined, until it becomes very blissful. Then it will enter what they call sukha. Sukha is a blissful state of mind. Then as this sukha continue to arise, you continue to relax into it, silent your mind completely, don't try to do anything, until that mindfulness becomes very stable. Then it will transform again and become more refined. From sukha, it will transform into what they call pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. When you have this pasati, the meditator will know, the cultivator will know, the form and mind will know. That mind is very different. That is the silent mind. Then if you can continue to relax and allow it to be, all of your object of meditation, whether it's the breath or the rising and falling, it will become very, very subtle until like no more movement, little or no more movement. Then everything is internally, internal breathing. Yeah. Then you like you don't breathe, but the awareness is very clear. Then you continue to relax further into it and just silence everything until the mind enters sati. When it is capable of entering sati, technically you don't need the object of meditation. Your mind is already silent, aware, relaxed, and peaceful within. No need to anchor to anything. At that time you can place your mind anywhere. This mind that is trained will listen to you. You will do what you want to do with it. You want it to be silent, it will just be silent and just aware. A general spacious awareness. You want it to be aware of the sense basis, you're just silent. General spacious awareness. Then it will be very clear. Every contact, what happened, not according to theory. You see in your form and mind that reality without any views, opinion or conditioning, without any thought. You just through the silent mind, without any conditioning, you see things as they are, the reality there and then. Yeah. That is the real meditation. Yeah. Okay, now I'll let you continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Yeah. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Always remember the four support. Then you are here in the form of meditation to train your mind. For those already trained, is to deepen your understanding of the silent mind. Allow the silent to stabilize until it become a part of you. Then make use of this trained mind to live your daily life, to cultivate noble evil power, leading to heedfulness, apamada. Then you are destined for enlightenment. No need to worry anymore. That is all you need to do. And to develop the training of the mind, you only need to cultivate spiritual faculty. Puja is very important. Develop a good religious routine every day. Morning when you wake up, before you sleep, and in between. Every time you come to the altar, pay respect. When you leave the house, pay respect. Come back, pay respect. Then daily mindfulness to develop a continuity of cultivation so that you don't behave like before. Only when you go retreat or meditation, you cultivate. Then when you come out, you are heedless for the next 6 3/4 days. Let's say every week you meditate one day, Thursday. You do like that, very difficult to train this mind, because that 6 3/4 day of heedlessness is going to destroy all of your meditative training. So religious routine is very important. Constant cultivation is very important. That's why you have to be ever mindful. That's why daily mindfulness is the only way, the four foundation of mindfulness. Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu, o bhikkhu. This is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, leading to the liberation of mind, realization of Nibbana. Yes. Oh, sorry. Okay. Thank you for the feedback. Cannot hear. Sorry. Okay, thank you, Mifong. Now the class is bigger. We need the mic at the back. And excuse me, because every time after I finish the meditation, you realize or not, my voice is very calm, very silent. I don't speak loud. So, because that calmness is still there. It's still there. And today I really rejoice. You know what happened? Most of you all now can meditate. Even my friend used to move a lot on. Today also very quiet. Except for Brother Tay cough a little bit. Wow, the rest you can see. I rejoice, really. Improve. Then one thing I want to ask you. Do you find this place easier to meditate? How many really experience that? Put up your hand. Many. I used to tell the Kayanamita. Last time I also got teacher who teach me. When I go to their place, it's also like a magic hall. When I go in there, wow, the mind very fast settle down. Then very calm, very peaceful. We are their nature. So likewise here, because I've been sharing here for the last 5 over years, that energy, that consciousness, that wisdom energy is already here. That's why we don't have a solid Buddha Rupang, either made of solid granite or marble or jade or whatever to trap the energy. That's why when we visited Sumeru the last time, the condition just arrived. And we are actually very grateful for what Brother Lim has done. He offered that Buddha Rupang to me. I think that one is, I don't know, make of what, I'm not sure. Could be marble or what, I'm not sure. He received quite a lot from Burma, I think. And he offered that one. And that one is very beautiful. We have the stillness energy everything is already there. What it needs is the spiritual wisdom energy. Once that one go in, this Buddha Rupang become beautiful. Then later on, even I don't come and teach, that Buddha image can make you peaceful. The energy that is stored inside. And with your faith, with all the Kayanamitta's great cultivation. Because our Kayanamitta are very different, right? That you later you will find out. Because when you understand the true teaching, you do with understanding, you progress very fast and you connect very fast. Yeah, sadhu. Okay. You may not understand what I say until later. But those who already connect and make the progress, they will know. And this teaching can really transform people, living beings. Yeah? And they really change on their own one. They change without them realizing it. When they encounter a situation, they know. Then the best confirmation is what? Yeah? That day I was having a dinner with some Kayanamitta friend. The husband shared this. I don't want to mention him. Oh, my wife changed a lot. Oh, now I am so happy. No need to be so stressful. Really, great transformation. And I didn't even know about it until he mentioned it. Then we say, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. See, I didn't do anything. They just listen. They cultivate. They develop the spiritual faculty. Then they develop the silent mind. Then they understand. They just transform and change on their own. And never do anything. Understand? Okay? So, don't have this doubt. Understand? Have faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Then don't always go and think, ayah, why I so slow? Like last time, Brother Song, I remember. He's at the back there. He used to compare himself with another friend, the lady that progressed very fast. Then he said, Brother Teo, I'm so serious, I'm full of faith, I'm so diligent, how come I'm so char? I said, no, it's not you are char, your time has not come, condition is not there yet. When the condition comes, you move very fast. Then I also advise him, sometimes there could be karmic obstruction. You need to ask for forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness. Then you determine. But because he's so sincere, he's so full of faith and so diligent. So when the karmic obstruction was overcome, he connect immediately. And he connect very fast. After that, he suddenly, not only the silent mind, he understand. The whole nature connect back and he transform. And he became so different. Then he read my note, he can understand already. Then now he has so much joy inside. So much gratitude. And I was like, so this is what Dhamma is all about. The real meditation can transform you without you knowing. And he himself said, last time he cannot understand all this. He used to read my dependent origination transcript note. 6 times, he said, cannot. Didn't really go in. Like very abstract. A lot of Dhamma on it, but cannot penetrate. But now, after he experienced and connect, he read, he understand very fast, just like Sister Kelly. So all this, I don't know them one. So they come from all over the places. And Kelly is your clan group. I also don't know her until the talk in clan. Then once a while we had dinner together with Brother Tay, Brother Gandhi. And she used to come with Sister Kwan. And then a few more. So Dhamma is like that. When condition is there, when it unfolds, you can never know one. You may think that you are very child, like no potential. But all of a sudden, when the condition is right, you will connect. And what are the conditions? You need listen. You need faith. Sada, very strong faith. Then you must be sincere. Then cultivate diligently. Don't try to know anything. The way will be there. You will progress very fast. You will connect very fast. Sincerity and faith, paved the way. Yeah. Then everything will just unfold. Thing is just the way it is. Right view. You will bring forth all the right things. Okay? Okay, so tonight we can now straight away go into Q&A, yeah? Second session. You can report your meditation. Then you can also ask me question related to meditation, the Dhamma, or how you want to apply what you have learned here together with the Dhamma to overcome all of your life situation, life reality, or problem. Where is the cordless mic? Somebody holding it? So you are looking for it. Or is it misplaced somewhere. So anybody wants to report meditation or ask question, you can have the mic. Don't be shy. Make full use of your time. Anybody? Yeah. Pass the mic to her. Where is the mic? Wireless mic. Here. Apik. Michael Lu. Okay. Or Brother Chong also can. Either of them. We still got 1 hour plus 5 minutes. Push it up all the way. Okay. Yeah.
I have nothing to ask. Except to.
You can share whatever you want to share. Yeah? Okay. Your experience and your understanding or whatever.
Expressing my appreciation.
Yeah.
For being able to come here.
Mm.
To listen to the Dhamma. And to be in the company of all the Kalyanamitas. So, that's about all I have to say.
Okay. Sadhu. We rejoice. She is very happy, very contented to be able to be here. So, that contentment, that gratitude, that joy is very important and appreciative of condition. What makes them come, they don't know. But their nature knows. That's why don't use your thought. Your thought cannot know. Because this is memory, this life. You cannot understand what happened in the past. Understand? When condition arrive, when you connect, then as you transform, you start to understand. Why are you like that? Why are other people like that? Why everyone is different? The Dhamma is very, very beautiful, very wonderful. That's the uniqueness of the Dhamma. Everyone is different. And when you have this Dhamma inside and you have the understanding, you become a different person. You will do the reverse of what you normally do when you don't understand the Dhamma. Not only there is no selfishness, you become more happy, more peaceful, a lot of joy. Then you have a lot of gratitude. Then you appreciate things very, very much. You have a lot of sincerity. You have a lot of contentment. A lot of appreciation for things. For wholesomeness. You rejoice a lot. Understand? Then you have this understanding that leads to compassion. That leads to love. That leads to understanding. That will transform you. Personality wise character, that is the sign of a Dhamma practitioner that has progressed. If after you do all the meditation, you still very crude in your speech, very crude in the way you act, and very crude in the way you arise your thought and the way you live your life, then please check what type of enlightenment is that. If you are still not contented with things, if you still don't know how to express that love, that compassion, that kindness, that gentleness, that appreciativeness, you cannot feel life, you cannot be sensitive about life, you don't have Dhamma, you don't have wisdom. Those that have Dhamma, their mind is very different. Not only there is no more selfishness, there is no more fear, there is no more insecurity, there is no more negativity. You just understand it's not worthwhile to do all those things. Then one of the Dharma friends even share lucky best. She last time used to be, is from the Tuesday class. She only came to me about 1.5 years ago. When she came, she was really, really in a very, very severe depression state with suicidal tendency and all those things. You can see her fear in her entire being. No? The sadness, the sorrow, the lamentation, the depression, all those, like, everything was there. Because the Dharma friend that brought her knew she was suffering for many, many years. Seen many psychiatrists and all those things. Taking all the medication. Then the moment I speak the Four Noble Truths, very funny, because he is a very clean slate, understand not? No Dharma background, no conditioning. Haven't even really heard about truth before. First time he hear, like a clean slate. Cup is empty, like a sponge. Absorb everything. Because she went through depression, she went through suffering, misery. All of the Four Noble Truths, especially First Noble Truth and Second Noble Truth, relate to what happened to her. And she can really understand what happened. And first time you see joy in her face. No? First time you can see her smile again. No? Then when I explain how due to delusion and stupidity people get into that situation, he keep on nodding her head. No? Yeah. Why so stupid? Last time I cannot understand. But nobody explained the Dhamma. Then when he know the cause behind her suffering, then I used to use this analogy, you listener, it will help you a lot. Even in the clang talk, I used to mention this. Each and every one of us, you hold the key to your own life destiny. Agree or not? Yeah. Means to be happy or to be miserable or sorrowful is your choice. Correct or not? True or not? So how come you don't know how to choose? Choose to be happy and peaceful, so difficult. What happened? Not to say you don't know how to choose. No. Living beings who have delusion, they become heedless because they don't understand the Dhamma. Understand? That's why as Buddhists, as Kayanamita, you are so fortunate now. You understand this secret teaching. You know why I call it secret? The essence of the Buddha's teaching is what? The Four Noble Truths, isn't it? What is this Four Noble Truth? He explained to you what? The secret of life, understand not? All of life, remember I gave my talk there? All of life, mundane and super mundane, everything can be summarized into this Four Noble Truth. And this is the beauty of the teaching, understand not? So, what are you waiting for? When you know the Four Noble Truths means what? You know what is suffering, understand? The eight condition. And when you know the Second Noble Truth, you know the cause behind. Self-delusion. Condition you to deludedly grasp, cling and hold and attach. That is the cause of suffering. If you know what is suffering, you know the cause, you somehow don't know how to come out of it. Nobody in this world is so stupid on it. Understand? It's because you don't know this teaching. That's why you are caught in suffering without knowing what is suffering. You are caught in suffering without knowing how you suffer, the cause behind. That's why you cannot come out of it. That's why for her, she listened. She know how to come out of it. She know how to straighten her view and say, yeah, why so stupid? My choice. I choose to be happy. Very easy, right? But you must know how to do it. Correct or not? Yeah, I told her just this thing, you listen. I said, what is wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your suffering, your misery, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, and your insecurity. These are all wrong thoughts. Oh, she straight away like wake up. No? All the thought that she is going through, like a tape recorder, you know, depressed people keep on repeating and repeating. All are wrong thought. Because everything that they hold on to and think is their attachment, their fear, their worry, their insecurity that make them miserable, sorrowful. And it has got a lot to do with the First Noble Truth reality. Then she start to realize, no, actually she has a choice, no. If these are all wrong thoughts, then why am I wasting my life to think that thought? Understand not? Understand not? Which are not a reality anymore. The past is already gone, future yet to come. This moment, present moment, is the only reality in life. What are you doing? You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Understand not? So much so you never live. That's why I say to live life is very simple. Cultivate the spiritual faculty. Automatically overcome the hindrance. Then she just go and do this religious routine and honesty. Then she just do her meditation, the simple one. She is not a serious meditator, no, because she doesn't know the Dhamma one. And you know what happened recently? She used to tell us, report in the Tuesday classes so you can listen. The Dhamma is so amazing. Can transform people like that one. Now she got a lot of joy, a lot of confidence, and a lot of happiness. And she understand until the whole depressed state all gone. No need to take medicine. The doctor one, all no need already. Completely free of medication dependent. And not only that, he said now, the mind has become so quiet, so peaceful, so heedful. So much so that there is so little or no thought. Then she said, she has developed a cultivation until to arise a single thought of negativity is like so difficult nowadays. You see how it happened. And this is a very typical case. That's why you don't need retreat and formal meditation. Even though she went for retreat. But she is not the serious type that always sit and walk and do all those funny meditation. She reflect, contemplate the first turning, second turning wisdom. Keep on arising. She silent her mind, develop the spiritual faculty. Within the five spiritual faculty, you know how many are enlightenment factors or not? Yeah? How many of them are enlightenment factors? Yeah? Sadha, of course, is not enlightenment factor. Yeah? But it is a important spiritual faculty for the rest. Then virya, is it an enlightenment factor? This is an enlightenment factor, isn't it? Spiritual zero. Then sati, is it an enlightenment factor? Yeah. Then samadhi, is it an enlightenment factor? Wisdom, no need to say. Understand? Not? Everything is inside that. Without the enlightenment factor, wisdom cannot come. Understand? Not? You cultivate this five, you not only have enlightenment factor, you perfect your wisdom. Understand? Not? That's why this is the real cultivation. And Brother Song used to tell me, you know, last time he used to cultivate another type of meditation. The stress is on retreat and vipassana and all those things, the cultivation, training the mind, concentration, everything. They never give emphasis to puja. And they didn't talk about this. Just like just now I discussed with Panchi. These two are like separate Dhamma. You realize or not, in the Dhamma book, they teach you this one set, this one set. They don't know how to link. They don't know how to explain to you that they are opposite, complementary. And they teach you how to balance this spiritual faculty. Yeah. The first time I read about it, I feel funny. These are spiritual faculty that need to be perfected until it becomes power. Remember? Balas, unshakable. You go and balance it for what? You train until it becomes balas, power. Then all these are spiritual faculty that will help you to understand the Dhamma, because these are spiritual faculty, mental faculty, that can understand spiritual teaching. You just cultivate, understand how? Who balance? I ask you that question. Yeah, you answer. Who do the balancing of the five spiritual faculty? Your thought. That's why now you wiser already, understand how? And the thought, been deluded, not enlightened, want to do balancing. Understand? How you balance? Using your views and opinion on what this thing is and your conditioning from the teaching that people teach you. Understand? Oh, sleepy must develop virya. If the virya not there, you can't develop virya. You cannot, understand? Yeah. Then, without wisdom, what you do? You try to balance wisdom with other things. But before you develop the four, wisdom cannot come around, understand not? Without wisdom, how to balance? Understand not? When your wisdom come about, you no need to balance, understand not? You understand the way things are. And you will know how to live. You will know how to arise that mind. And the thought will not interfere. Because you will have the ability through sati and samadhi to see things as they are. You can understand not? Sati is what? Mindfulness is what? Awareness before the knowing. Understand not? Before the knowing is before the conditioning. Before your views and opinion coming in to interfere. Understand not? Then samadhi is what? Collected and unwavering. Means every moment of sense experience, if I have sati and samadhi, I was sitting as they are. My mind will not stir. Understand? It's unwavering. Understand? Collected. Then when I sitting as they are without my views and opinion and conditioning interfering, means I just aware and silent, I'm not lost in thought, I'm not preoccupied with anything. That's how I can understand the truth and the reality. There and then, the universal characteristic will arise. Truth is everywhere. The characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state is and non-self or anti-nature, anicchang dukkhanatta is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Because only the silent mind can awaken to the characteristic of nature without words. It will show it to you. It will manifest it to you. All phenomena exhibit three things. You will see the condition arising, causal phenomena. Without causes, nothing arises. And the moment of its arising, you have sati, the mind, awareness together with the thing. You have to be with the moment in sati. To see the moment of arising is sustained and is passing away without thought. Then only you can awaken to the three characteristics of nature. The moment you think or note, you're gone already. You cannot follow the thing. It is a flow. Every characteristic is a flow. Understand not? That's why when your mind is in sati, everything you see is in sati. I told you about the two mindfulness. General spacious and specific phenomenal awareness. That's how you see the direct see. The phenomenal and the mind awareness is one. Understand not? Specific phenomenal awareness. That's why every moment of seeing you are in sati. Every moment of hearing the mind is in sati. That's why it can understand that every moment of smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. That's why the aggregate of mind, the sankhara, everything, you can be with the moment of feeling, moment of perception, moment of activity, or moment of consciousness, and even the mental form inside the moment of perception. You will understand that, and you will see very clearly, and you will know what this form and mind is all about. You will know what dependent origination is all about, how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? All this will become very clear. And what you need? Sati and samadhi. Understand? That's why this spiritual faculty and together with the enlightenment factor, it will bring forth wisdom, understanding. It keep on arising. And this is the real direct seeing. Jnana dasana. Seeing things as they are. Not what your thought tell you. Understand? Not what your belief system, your views and opinion condition you into believing and seeing. Then who see? Your brain with your memory, views and opinions see. And right or wrong is according to what? According to you. Understand? That's why thought-based meditation, you are stuck. Understand? And when you don't have the wisdom, panya, if you use thought, I can tell you, very dangerous. You think you arrive right thought, right effort to abandon the wrong thought. What is wrong thought also you don't know. Then right effort to prevent it from arising. Because your right and wrong is according to your views and your opinion, understand? Your conditioning, your belief system, your religion. It is not according to nature's law, and all of your decision and action, you act according to memory. That is not the way to act. What is memory? Memory is the whole accumulation of all your past, good and bad experiences, Karana. All your scars of memory, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your phobia, everything is there. And you act according to that. There is no way to live life like that. That's why you have fear. That's why you have worry, you have anxiety, and your thought project. Through what? Through non-reality question. What if they come to know? What if I lose my job? Before it happens, you create your own fear. Understand not? Through what? Through memory. Creating thought, projecting. Then you recall the unhappy past. Then the phobia come, the fear come. Understand not? Especially you cannot snatch teeth before. Then as you walk on the road, you hear motorbike sound only. What happened? That fear, that insecurity. Why? Because that memory trigger off. Understand not? Then you act according to that insecurity, that memory, that fear, that phobia within. And this is what the Buddha meant by attachment, clinging, craving, grasping. You cannot understand. Then I hope you all know how to answer. The next question is what? Then how do you act, Brother Teo? Karena. Everyone act according to memory, isn't it? Why nobody asked that question until today? Nobody asked that question, no. How do you act? If you don't use memory, how to act? Huh? Noble Evil Path is very good. You know, Noble Evil Path is what? No negativity, understand? No? Correct, no? But you must have right view, no? That's why you must go and cultivate, understand? That's why the three stages of Dhamma, remember? Where is the chart? Oh, not here. Pariyatti, Patipatti, Pativeda, remember? First level of Dhamma is what? Yeah? First level of Dhamma is what? Pariyatti is what? Wow, like that, how to progress? Three phases of Dhamma, this is the Theravada's core teaching, no? I'm not teaching you Mahayana, no? This is Pali word, no? Pariyatti, oh. What is it? What is it? Learning of the teaching, learning of the doctrine, understand? So phase one is learning. How do you learn? The three turning. So learning, you use what? You listen to the Dhamma, understand? Then you reflect, contemplate, and inquire. These are the first and second turning, understand? Then you develop the understanding, understand? Then after that, when you understand the true Dhamma, that's why be patient, don't be in a hurry. The problem with most of you all is, you know what happened? Before you learn, you jump into the meditation, understand? You don't even know the essential teaching, you don't even know what the Buddha's words are, but you become gullible. Teach me how to meditate. So they give you method, technique, you gullibly go and do without understanding. And you end up doing without understanding, just like I explained to you. The essential Dhamma, the five hindrances and the five spiritual faculties, also you don't know. What is meditation, also you don't know. What is sati, also you don't know. And you want to meditate. Can you develop a meditation that you don't understand? It's obvious, isn't it? If I don't know what is sati, how can I cultivate sati? Understand? If I don't know what is meditation, then how can I meditate? But you never ask that question, no. Just like just now I say, acting according to memory is not acting at all. Then you never ask. Then brought you how to act. Understand? So remember to ask me to explain before 10:30. First turning, second turning, you learn the teaching. Through hearing the Dhamma, through reflection and contemplation and inquiry into what you have heard, what you have read, and what you have discussed. Dhamma discussion, all those things. Then you assimilate all this understanding. But when you reflect and contemplate and inquire, the understanding will arise. That's why you got Suttamaya Panya leading to Chintamaya Panya. Then it will start to stabilize inside you. That's why you assimilate, you stabilize this understanding and assimilate it into your nature. Then there is understanding. Then through the understanding, you act. Understand? You act through wisdom, not from memory anymore. That's why the Buddha asked you to constantly reflect the five daily contemplation. What are they? What are they? First three is about your body. Yeah? This body of ours is of the nature to decay, grow old, get sick and die when the condition is like that. It goes the way of nature. So if you reflect and contemplate, then you understand the reality of this form. These are only elements. No, no, it cannot be me. And this one, not only this human body and mind of mine, each and every living being who has a physical body and a form, it will follow nature's law. It will go the way of nature. Because the form gets old, decay, sick, and die. It's not you, understand? So when you confront them, you are not deluded. You don't go and worry about this body getting old, getting sick, and die. This is like a vehicle for you to use, understand? To come to this world, to live life, understand? Vehicle means what? It takes you around, isn't it? This one, you walk around with it, isn't it? So like your car, isn't it? You want to go anywhere, you take the car, yeah, or your bicycle, or your motorbike, yeah, or your Volkswagen. Correct, no? You walk, yeah. This is your Volkswagen. Yeah. Not Volkswagen, Volkswagen. So, this is your vehicle. If it's a car, you know what to do with it. If you got a problem with the car, what you do? Send it to a good mechanic. Yeah. Your only fear is they could tow you. They charge you very expensively, understand? But this body got problem, You don't know how to go and look for a good specialist, You go and worry about it first, though. Are you old? Die, lah. What if it's cancer? What happened? Not a reality, The thought project first, Then you got fear, worry, inside. Is that the way to live life? Instead of living life, be with the moment at peace, with a clear mind, to see exactly what is going on, to understand the situation, then act. But you go and panic first, go and worry first, and this is not a reality, it's the thought's projection, and you cannot see. This is delusion. This is sankara anicang, sankara dukang. How mental state, mental thinking, mental activity, conditioned suffering. Understand? What are thought? What are sankara? They are impermanent. They come and they go. It's not a reality. Why can't you just silence your mind and be with the moment and understand the reality? The reality is what? This car need repair. Understand? So do what you have to do. You go and worry about the car for what? Understand? But the real car, you never worry, is that? But you attach to that car, what happened? I just bought, How can my wife go and have this accident? I blame again. Then become unhappy over what? Over the thought that attached. And what is thought? Sankara. That's why the Buddha says, Sankara anicang, come and go, impermanent, you cannot see. Then you attach, give meaning and cling, Sankara dukang. Sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara. This is the real teaching. That's why you don't attach, don't cling. This is only form, element, no knowing, cannot be you. So use it, understand? It is karmically conditioned out for you to use, understand? Like your car. Use it. Anything happen, don't panic, understand? Don't worry about it. Don't fall in love with it, understand? You have to take care of it, understand? So that it lasts you longer. That's why you must maintain it well. That's why body and mind must harmonize. Understand? But you don't attach. Understand? You don't go worry about it. Understand? So this is what the Dhamma is all about. When you understand, you use it. Understand? So like the Buddha, reflect, contemplate, then don't be deluded by it. So as you confront old age, sickness and death, you ask yourself, this is not me, element only. Understand? I got two choices. If I deludedly cling and hold, thinking that this body is me, if I fear that I may die, or when I fall sick, I may have problem, if financially and all those things, then you not only sick, no, you also suffer in your mind. No. Your mind is also sick. No. Then what happened? Through that delusion, suffering arises. So the Buddha said, you got two choices. Deludedly grasp cling, worry about it, and become miserable. The other understanding is, ah, yourself. Not only me, you know. Every living being also have to confront birth, old age, sickness, and death, no. If I got understanding and wisdom, if I have reflected on this every day, that this is only element go the way of nature, then I will have to accept this reality. Everybody's form go this way, understand? You got two choices, remember? One is to accept the reality and then be at peace with it and do what you have to do, understand? Need to see a doctor? See a doctor. Need to eat supplement? Take supplement. Need to consult people? Consult. This is more tangible. But what are living beings doing? They go and worry about you. They go and develop fear. They project. They check the internet. Oh, you'll die lah. Fourth stage, 3 months only. Then doctors say, must do biopsies. You go and panic yourself. You go and worry until you become so miserable. There was one Buddhist used to tell me when he was admitted to a hospital for something, stone or I don't know what. He's a long time Dharma practitioner. I think easily 30 years old. You know what happened when the doctor told him? We had the blood test came out. The data was so high. He said, you sure cancer already? At least third stage or fourth stage. Oh, his whole face pucat. No. He totally cannot continue. He was so full of fear. Then the doctor somehow didn't really explain. No. He said, we will have to do a biosis. He said, what is a biosis? A conformity test to confirm that it is cancer. And what stage and all that. How long the result? The doctor said 1 week. Oh, that whole week he was like in hell, I tell you. He cannot eat, he cannot do anything. We visited him in the hospital. And he told her all the story. But we visited him on the day where the result already came out, the day before. That's why he was so cheerful, he can talk about it. The moment the result come out negative, he said this, he used that word, this doctor, tell you. Luckily, he went for a second opinion. The second opinion, this doctor very experienced. Also a specialist. He said, no lah, this reading, sometimes it's an instantaneous reading. When you have infection, that reading can spike on. It's not conclusive. The biopsy is the real one. Oh, then he relieved. Just through vibration, you hear, then you react. That is acting out of fear, out of memory, out of conditioning. If you act according to wisdom and understanding, means what? The Buddha asks you to contemplate after the first three is what? The fourth one is what? Separation. All your loved one, even your this form and mind. All things that you hold on to dearly, your prized possession, your property, everything, or your career, or your reputation. When condition is there, they will be around for you and they belong to you. But when condition cease to be, you are separate from you. Then either you separate from them first, when your breath stops, or they will separate from you when something happens, when condition cease to be. Understand? And then you learn how to accept this reality of separation. It can be divorce. It can be separation due to death. It can be loss of property due to crisis and all those things. Then you are prepared. Because these are all condition arising things. You cannot be certain. And life is uncertain. Death is certain. Separation is certain. Without wisdom, you will be afflicted. You will suffer. Then the last one is what? Law of karma. The Buddha said, always remember, you are born of your karma, head of your karma, condition is supported by your karma. You are what you are because of karma. So if you have this right view, means what? You don't blame anybody anymore, understand? No? Why God so unfair? You complain for what? It's no more a reality. You think that God will come down and please you, sorry lah. I don't mean it. Next life you come, I don't make you like that. You think God so kind. It's your thought, understand? No? You project and you complain and you react. And all these are not reality. The reality is, bias is result, come out is like that. What are you going to do? You have to accept that reality, isn't it? And then, with a clear mind, calm mind, with right view, means law of karma. Very likely in the past, I have a lot of this karmic negativity. I kill and cause suffering. That's why this life I'm born with a DNA that has this possibility of cancer and all things. Then also partly because I don't understand my mind. I created too much stress, fear, worry, anxiety, and so on. Negative energy field that caused my immune system to go down. That conditioned my mind state to be what it is. So you don't blame anybody for what happened. Like the Buddha said, you are born of it, here to eat conditions, but you are what you are because of it. So when you accept that reality, means what? You are at peace. You don't blame, you don't react, you don't get angry anymore. That's why I always tell the Karamitawan, no matter what happened in life, don't react and don't get angry. Cannot. Very difficult, huh? Especially your own children. Do that funny thing to you, or your spouse. Oh, they say they are your best teacher. They test you. They really test you. Your patience, your understanding of life. You cannot cope even with your own loved one. How can you cope with the external world, life situation? So now you understand. You act according to the Dhamma that you have learned. The right view, the wisdom. You act according to understanding. You don't act according to memory. Understand? You understand means what? You understand the truth, the reality, the essential Dhamma or the teaching. Then I will not fear. I will not react. I will not blame. I will accept the reality. Whatever that happened, the Buddha say what? There are causes and conditions behind. And mainly because of karma. Understand? So when you understand that, you accept. Even you face potential suffering through divorce, like your husband did it to you. This life, I don't know why a lot of ladies complain. Most of the time, they are the one becoming the victim. But there are also cases the other way around, but very rare. So when they always come and complain, they get very angry. They feel like very cheated by the husband. I trusted. He used that B-A-S, S something. Last time, darling or honey, now become B-A-S something. For so many years and give birth to two or three beautiful children, and he did that to me. The he, the I, the me, everything. So this is all anger, hatred, jealousy, evil root, root of all evil. Make you miserable. You suffer like mad. So then I ask her one question. Are you happy? What do you mean by I am happy? I'm very fed up with him. I said, can you sleep? How to sleep? Insomnia and all the things. Full of suffering, full of misery, yet doesn't know. And someone call themselves Buddhist. No? They don't know what is evil. No? When the anger, hatred, jealousy, selfishness is there, these are evil roots. No? Three evil roots are greed, hatred, and delusion. They are the root of evil. They make you very evil. That's why never have any anger inside you. Never have any jealousy. Never have any unhappiness, deceitfulness, cunningness, selfishness. Never. These are evil root that will make you very evil. Root of all evil. So when you understand the Dhamma, you act through wisdom, you will arise the right effort to abandon all this. Understand? Evil root that has arisen. Evil root lead to what? Wrong thought, wrong action, wrong speech, through selfishness, through emotional negativity, through fear, through insecurity. So this is how you act, following Dhamma, Noble Eightfold Path. And so Noble Eightfold Path is what? Right view, leading to right understanding, to arise right thought, right speech, right action, and right life. And this is how you act. When you act like that, you follow the advice of the Buddha, and so you avoid all evil, you do good. Then you meditate and purify your mind. Then you will bring about the end of all suffering. That all of your problems, no more. Understand? Can follow not? Because you no more fear, worry, and react. Understand? You just act with understanding. The Noble Truth is so clear. Understand not? These are all suffering. I know the First Noble Truth. Understand not? The cause is attachment, craving, clinging through delusion. When I understand the cause and what suffering is, I somehow allow myself to be in that state. Means what? You are really, really stupid. Understand not? You are really, really deluded. That's why Mahayana used this word, stupidity. I like that word. Really, very stupid. Nobody in their right frame of mind will go and do that. Understand? Only a depressed person who is deluded and heedless. Anybody who is sane, they will know how to choose. Remember? You hold the key to your own life destiny. That's why once this teaching is understood, you will never allow yourself to become miserable anymore. You will not blame that so-called bastard anymore. Understand? You only blame yourself for not understanding what is going on. But in the past, very likely, when previous life, you are the man, you did that to another lady who suffered like you, miserable. And that time you never say, hey, how can you do that? Because that time you think you're very great. Oh, with all your authority, your money, everything. No. I really told her. Yeah? She think, who is she? My wife so great. Ah. He said, I don't need this type of wife. You know. I want a wife who is young one, can take care one. The thoughts, selfish. Understand? But when you did to people, that is coming. Future life, you come, you become victim. Understand? And now people divorce you. And then you scold. You said, that bastard. Last time, honey, darling. How come all of a sudden, from love become hatred? Because of wrong view. Don't understand. You cannot accept. So anger come about through what? Emotional negative. You react to what happened because your view of things. You don't have right view. You don't understand. So when I told them, what if in the past you have done this? You know what the lady tell me? The one that is affected. God like that one, man. I say in life, you know. Whatever you did to people, like the law of karma, you reap what you sow there. Oh, like that. What must I do? Again, that question. So I said, first thing, ask for forgiveness. Oh, I straight away react. No. You meet from that guy? Oh, I said, no need from that guy. You have to ask for forgiveness from all the beings that you have caused karmic negativity and hurt. I said, you follow. Then they take out notebook, they write. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this karmic nature of mine had caused any karmic negativity, suffering, misery, or misled, I sincerely ask for forgiveness. And I determine not to repeat it. Once you do this, nature's law take over. Understand? Then that karmic obstruction is gone. Then it tone you down. Understand? Because when a person is willing to ask for forgiveness, means what? He know in the past he has done wrong, understand? And he will never repeat this because this is suffering that I caused to people. Now, nature's law hit back, my turn to suffer. Fair or not? You tell them like that, then they can agree. They can accept. They say, okay, good, I will do that. What else? Very simple. Do puja. Keep precept. Radiate metta. Have right thought, wholesome thought. No more evil root of anger, hatred, jealousy. When you arise that, are you happy? Are you peaceful? I say, your children also can feel it. He say, yeah, brother. They also got a lot of fear, a lot of misery. He said, the whole family unit is destroyed. So now you know the third precept you violate, sexual misconduct, it will lead to separation and divorce. You know what are you causing to your own family? You destroy the family completely. Your children's love, your spouse, the harmony, the family unit, the whole thing destroyed. Through one lustful action, selfish action. So who in this world will do that? Unless you are really deluded and selfish, really selfish and lustful. Understand? Marriage is a very sacred matrimony. that you sign when you commit yourself. Understand or not? That's why the Christian very good. Huh? Not until death. Huh? We shall not what? Huh? Depart. Huh? They vow to love each other. Huh? But the Christian also a lot of divorce cases. Huh? I think more. So anyway, just the statistics are not important. So what is important is you know how to act. You act according to the Dhamma, the understanding. Dhamma is truth that points towards reality. Understand not? Right view. Following Noble Eightfold Path. Understand not? And that is the pure action. That is the right action. It will bring about the end of all suffering. You live life. Your intention is what? To be happy, to be peaceful, and to be free of all suffering. Yeah? That's why you meditate to become enlightened. Yeah? And out of the Four Noble Truths, which one is the meditation that the Buddha teach? Yeah? Which one? The Fourth Noble Truth. Yeah? The Buddha said, this Fourth Noble Truth, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And this is what enlightenment is all about. Understand how? And this is how you solve your problem. Understand how? This is the meditation. That's why I say, whatever meditation you do, if it don't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You think only the fantastic meditative experience, oh, you can fly, you can do all this, oh, then equate to enlightenment. That is not the Buddha's meditation. That is the Samatha meditation. Meditation is not about experience, fantastic meditation experience. Meditation is about wisdom, understanding, to understand who you are, what you are, to understand life and know how to live life, following Noble Eightfold Path. Then only you can be a noble one, understand not? An enlightened one. An enlightened one is called a noble one because they are very noble in all aspects of life. The understanding of life, that's why they got right view, right understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. And they have right thought. And they know how to communicate. They got right speech and right action to communicate, to act, to live. That's why they got right living, or right livelihood. Then they constantly arise the right effort to purify their mind, their thought process, to prevent the unwholesome thought, action, and speech from arising. Then to abandon them once they arise. Then right effort to cultivate those right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood is still that are still not in you. Then the last right effort is to refine upon them and perfect them. Then after that, develop mindfulness, the silent mind, to meditate, to understand the truth, to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to understand the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self, then to awaken. Then when you awaken, the form and mind will understand. Then this wisdom or intelligence is within your nature, never lost. Understand? No need to remember one. Understand? You need to remember only you know how to act one. That one is knowledge, fake one. Understand? When you meet a life situation, well, you recall, what did the Buddha say? How to act? What Noble Eightfold Path? How to act? What is noble? You should die already. Noble Eightfold Path, under the second turning, what did the Buddha say? This Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated, not understood. First, Noble Truth only understood. The Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. You must cultivate until it becomes a part of you, understand or not? That's why second phase of Dhamma is patipati. You put the Dhamma that you have learned and understood into practice in daily life, understand? Until it become a part of you, understand? Then this one act, understand? Like I always tell you the analogy, stock market, very easy. Make money, buy low, sell high. Correct? But how many can do it? Because you don't understand, that's why you always buy high, sell low. Out of greed and fear. Understand? That's why it's not a living reality. You can talk. Understand? Knowledge a lot. Told you lah, that time buy lah. Now you see up already. Then market crash, you don't see him. Understand? Because this one is theory. But the one that is with the understanding, they will tell you, buy during crisis. Crisis time, a lot of panic and fear, cheapest. Then, confidently wait for the market to come back. But it's cyclical. Oh, then you make your money. Oh, this one got wisdom. This one don't talk out of knowledge. Well, this guy experienced, he has done it. That's why he can tell you. Don't go and chase a stock when everybody is very confident, when the market is very bullish. We are out of greed. You go and listen to rumor, you chase stock. Hey, make money, you know. He told me $2, I didn't buy, now $3, no. Oh, then $3 didn't buy, $4, no. Then $10, you jump in. Then after that, go up 11, you didn't sell, straight away crash to $5. Then you ask, hey, what happened? You still holding? That is a standard answer. Why? Because you don't understand. It's just like meditation. When you do without understanding, you end up like that. You ask, hey, what happened? How come like that? How come I meditate, then I become like that? How come my karma like that? You go and ask. No use. If you had done the right cultivation, you know what happened to you? You are very blessed. Dharma protector protect you. You have a lot of merits. Your karmic nature, very strong, very powerful. Your spiritual nature is also very strong, very powerful. And you are very blessed. And your life is so beautiful. And then you know you are on the right path. If your life is clunkabout, everything doesn't go the right way. Means you check how you live your life. You must have been very heedless. You don't have the Dhamma. You don't have the understanding of life. That's why as a Buddhist, you should count your blessing. You should thank Lord Buddha for teaching the Dhamma, for having the Sasana, and all those divine beings that you have affinity with, like Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva, Maitreya, and all these, the great Bodhisattvas. Okay? So, how did I end up here? Did she ask any questions? She didn't ask any questions. She just shared her joy. Oh, then how did I end up so talking about all these things? I cannot remember. I really cannot remember. Huh? Oh, gratitude. Oh, yeah. From there, it all started. That's why you don't have to ask any question. Express your sincerity. Then condition will arise. And then all the Dhamma will come. Don't try to remember or keep note. Go back and listen to the recording. Now you're so blessed. Technology is not always evil. Technology can be useful. You know what is technology or not? Like money and thought is neither evil or good. It depends on the user of technology. If you use technology to watch pornography, then you ask yourself, good or bad? But if you use technology for the benefit of all the well-being of living beings, then it's different. It's just like money. The user is very important. That's why if the user lacks wisdom, you cannot live, you cannot act. Everything you do, selfishness come out. Emotional negativity come out. That's why you get angry, irritable. You lack virtue. You lack goodness. You are very selfish, very stubborn, and full of what they call emotional negativity. You become violent. Then you have a lot of what they call selfishness that make you very, very rigid. Then you try to control people. Then you try to do a lot of funny things in the name of God or whatever. So Dhamma is very beautiful, very wonderful if you understand. But if you don't understand, it's very, very, very miserable. Without Dhamma, actually you cannot understand life. Yeah, Dhamma points towards the truth. All of truth that governs life and existence, the Buddha just teach. That's why he teach the essential Dhamma. And the most important Dhamma are the Four Noble Truths. Okay, any more questions? Yes, present there.
Explain something before
Oh, I explained already. How to act. Understand? No? You asked that question to remind me. Thank you. Actually, I explained already. How to act. Understand? Not according to memory. Means according to what? Wisdom, understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? No? That's why you act according to Dhamma understanding. Understand? That's why the five daily contemplation is very important. The five hindrance of mind, the five spiritual focality. These are essential Dhamma that you must understand. Then you act according to this means what? Like I asked Brother Wong, he's not here today. Yeah? You remember Wu Ping Jing, the meditation? Then there's another dark one. Follow that sister. That what's her name? Your friend. What's his name? Tan. I forgot your name. What's her name? Jin, yeah. Jin's friend. You remember, sit at the back there. He said, the mind cannot settle down. Remember the question? Then he said, can I use Buddha using the bit? Understand? Remember? I said, yeah, I answer you, Miss I gullible. Understand? Because you must understand why are you not peaceful? Why is your mind like that? Why you cannot settle down? Understand? So when you act with that understanding, then you will inquire, what did the Buddha say? How come I'm like that? Not peaceful, cannot meditate. Then you start to understand. Oh, because of this mental hindrance. That's why it hinders my mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why I am not peaceful. But what normally meditators do is, they go and look for other method and technique. That's why he asked me the question, Bratio, can I switch to Buddha? Using the bit. I say you must understand the purpose of the bit. Buddha is a Thai tradition. Breathing in, but breathing out, do. But when you add in the bit, it's a Mahayana tradition. Mahayana tradition is that bit, when you feel, you don't think. Understand? That's why it's like the mind sweeping method. Understand? But this forefinger, they will move that bit down. Understand? Then this thumb will press it again. Understand? Every time you hold that feeling there, you don't think, you just feel, it cut away your thinking, understand? That's why it deconditions your heedless thinking. And if they every day also, buddho, their mind become quiet, understand? Peaceful, calm, because that feeling prevents the heedless momentum of thinking from going on, understand? So when you do it until it become a part of you, then you become very aware, very peaceful, very calm. And this is only a skillful mean, understand not? Like good food, understand not? Good food means what? First time you eat very nice, right? Then you think about it, right? You want to go back, right? Let's say 1 week you go there 3 times, 4 times. After a while, you will tell your wife, I think we go somewhere else. Understand not? So meditation is the same, no? First time, very effective, this dynamic meditation, this one, fantastic. You become very calm, very peaceful. You think meditation is about calmness and peace. It is not about calmness and peace. Calmness and peace is just a byproduct of meditation. Understand? What is meditation all about? To develop the understanding of who you are, what you are. To develop wisdom to liberate your mind. Understand? It's not about calm and peace alone. Understand? Calm and peace is a byproduct of a trained mind. It will naturally become heedful and peaceful. But when you don't understand what is going on, then you chase after method, technique, and teacher, understand? Then you tell yourself, no, I must go to retreat. Outside cannot. I must go there. Means you don't understand what is going on. The Buddha said, because of the five mental hindrance, that's why it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness and having the silent mind to be aware. So when I know that this is happening, what must I do? You know what they do? What they do? You try. You put out your hand. You are very good. Now you know. Supposed to cultivate the opposite. You don't go and do anything, understand? Not? You don't go and fight sleepiness, understand? Go and wash your face. Please, don't mean you cannot wash your face. You can go wash your face. Understand? Not? But you must understand, you wash your face because you want to be fresh, understand? Not? I already told you, if you do without understanding, you are torturing yourself in the retreat. Wait. you might as well go and take a walk. Understand? And you feel a lot better. Understand? Just relax and walk peacefully. Understand? Like Thich Nhat Hanh said, every step is peace. You become more peaceful. Understand? Rather than sitting there, you know what is torturing yourself? Got pain also, dare not move. Dare not make noise. Itchy also. Wow, cannot. You see, very strict one here. Got fart also, dare not release. That is the worst I tell you. Then what are you doing inside there? You might as well stay at home, watch TV, have a cup of coffee, watch football. More relaxed and more peaceful. If you have mindfulness, that is more peaceful. But because you cannot understand, you torture yourself without understanding. You must do with understanding. Don't get me wrong, retreat is important. That's why I also conduct retreat. But you must know what you are doing in the name of meditation and retreat. So just like this, what they do is, oh, if you tell them, they, okay, yeah, I got sloth and torpor, I cannot meditate. My mind very restless. You know what they do? They try to force themselves to be awake. You know? They say, I must arrive virya. But they don't know how to contemplate. They don't know how to arrive virya. Then they force themselves. The more they force, the more sleepy they become. Actually, the best way to overcome sleepiness, you know, is what? So, apply the opposite five. Then I take this one out. Apply the opposite five. What is the opposite five? Sorry. What do you apply? Which one you apply? No. I already told you, you don't have virya. They don't know how to contemplate and reflect, understand? So there is no virya. Forget about virya. What must you do? You must develop what? Ha! Sati! Sati means what? Silence your mind. Don't react. Don't panic. Don't go and develop aversion towards the sleepiness, understand? Because you got wrong view. You think meditate means I must not sleep. I must not be lazy. Understand? I must have virya. You never contemplate, you never reflect, you want to have virya. Understand? Very difficult, isn't it? So, what must you do? You silence your mind and allow it to be. Allow that sloth and torpor to be. Then you see what happens. I tell you, when you silence your mind and stay with that sleepiness, when sati and that thing is one, all of a sudden, your consciousness will shift. The shift in consciousness will trigger of virya. You will see light, very bright. Then all of a sudden, this virya come. Then you are very alert. There is clarity inside. This is how you meditate. Because I went through this before. It came and test me, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. I did until the spiritual faculty very strong already, you know. Then there was one day, for no reason, I sit down to meditate. That sleepiness just come, no? And I know my body is not tired, no? But I rested enough, no? And then I knew it was a test. Then I just silenced my mind. And then the shift of consciousness comes. Then I realize they come and test you. But the moment they test you, after that day, no more. No more. All the hindrance. That one, never repeat anymore. That's why you must know how to apply the spiritual faculty. When you apply the spiritual faculty, the hindrance disappear by itself. Understand not? You don't go and fight, suppress, control, and do all the funny thing. Understand not? Like sensual desire, evil. Oh, I'm a spiritual guy. I must not have craving. Good food, dare not smell, dare not eat. Understand not? You become what? Very weird, isn't it? Then you tell your wife, no, I must not have craving. What type of husband is this? Huh? Good food also cannot eat. Somehow every day go meditate. The wife say, okay lah, you go and meditate. You go and eat your simple food lah. You must understand, you know, life is life. You know, when you have wisdom, you know how to live. Understand? That's why there are three stages. Remember, Kan San, Si San. Then when you penetrate it, Kan San, Bu Si San. Then finally, what happened? Kan san, you si san. That time, your wife will love you like anything. Just like that Dharma friend. The husband said, oh, now the wife is so beautiful, so different. oh, no more stress, no more problem. Then you can have real love, understand not? Real harmony, real understanding. Then you still live, and yet you have the right understanding of life. You don't become like, oh, everything also cannot now. Like somebody told me, say, now I cannot do this, I cannot do that already. Oh. There are stages where you go through, understand? Then you want to be silent, everything. Oh, you have no more time. Otherwise, I read to you. I received a SMS from one of our Dhamma friends who is at Putosan. I don't know whether she is back or not. Wow, she's beautiful. Huh? You can spare me 2-3 minutes. Huh? Can I? Okay. Oh, these are very good. In Putosan, she went alone. No? And she, yes, she can experience all this. No? You listen. Huh? Okay, you listen, huh? Dear Brother, I just completed paying respect to the Divine and compassionate Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. I felt a strong energy here and it's so joyful. The Divine, pure, soft, gentle and serene nature of this place and Kuan Yin touches my heart. It's so auspicious to be here. Then he sent me the Kuan Yin image, huh? Very beautiful. Then I said, Sadhu. Then my advice, you know what? Maintain strong faith in Kuan Yin and continue to silence your mind and relax into it. Whatever state that arises, relax into it more and more. Okay? Then you know what happened to her. No? Immediately after that, he said, I cannot talk the whole day. And my friend keep asking me what's wrong. I couldn't explain to them. I just felt the silence within and within nature. And just want to stay silent. I thought, that is the true meditation. I thought, you will go through that phase. And after that, when you come out of it, when you develop the wisdom and understand, you will become normal again. Understand not? But when you transform into that phase, don't worry. That's why I say different time you do different thing and you will understand one. All this will happen by itself one. Not from the top one, understand one. She didn't come and ask me before she go, no. Hey, how must I feel the energy there? No such thing one, understand one. He just do the religious routine, just listen to the Thursday Dhamma sharing. And she has a lot of faith, I tell you. Mm. Then he said, even the place is so crowded, but it doesn't disturb me at all. All I felt was an overwhelming joy and gratitude to be able to have this opportunity to pay respect and homage to the great, compassionate Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Every step up to the temple was a step of faith and joy. See? Feeling silent, gentle, soft and serene. Thank you so much, Brother Teo, for showing me the way to appreciate the joy within, the silence within. Thank you, and Mahasadhu to you. Then the usual sadhu sign, huh? The three beautiful sadhu sign, the four pamana, you always send. I don't know how to use that gimmick, because I never said, I type the word in. Then I reply, I say, I really rejoice with your wholesomeness too. Do continue to strive on with heedfulness. I say, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I don't know how to use the sign. Then you know what she said or not. There is a huge rock with the huge word engraved in Chinese, meaning sing, you know, sing, heart. Eh? And the guide was asking couple to hold hands and take photo for everlasting love. But I read it as a message from Kuan Yin, understand, telling us to pay attention to our heart. See? From the word heart, understand, the message like from inside, it comes to realize you must pay attention to your heart, understand, your nature. Then you know what happened. to look into our heart in silence. See? Don't go and chatter, talk, and use your thought, in silence. To be with where your heart is. To find solitude in our heart. It is so profound, she said. Just only one silent word. One word, silent. But so profound and deep. That's why you all never understood the message. Huh? So many Thursday classes keep on telling you to just silence your mind. Don't try to know anything. Even the Singapore girl also spotted it. But a lot of you all still didn't know what the thing is. You have to meditate to experience the silence, to arise that silence. Then you will understand my teaching. Well, it is from there that the teaching comes. Without the silent mind, it's very difficult. Without the silent mind, it's like you haven't understood what patipati, pariyati and patipati. Then the last part is the best. Huh? The beauty of the word rings in my ears and shake my heart. Even though I don't know Chinese, he's a banana, she is a she. But this is what I simply know, what Kuan Yin is trying to convey to me. See, just one word. Then I reply back. You know what did I reply? Just two words. What is it? Mahasadhu. Understand? So beautiful. Understand? On a trip alone, no. And can cultivate until like that. And she is not very long. She only came in March at the Cameron Highland Retreat. Some of you may know her, but no need to mention name. She sent it to me privately, not through my Kayanamita. Because she has a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude. And she keep on understanding and she progress a lot because she has a past. At the retreat also many things happened to her. So with that, I think we end. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, before we do the puja, the closing puja, I need a drink. Excuse me. I was told, Sister Joanne, your birthday. Sadhu. We wish her happy birthday. Or we sing later. We sadhu first. We rejoice her birthday. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And it's very wholesome with all Kayanamita wishing you. I really rejoice. So anyway, we will complete the puja. So that it benefits you all in many, many ways. Just 2 hour session. Those who understand, they will know. You know how much blessing has been accumulated by all your nature or not? If you pay attention, silence your mind, and develop the understanding and follow attentively, I tell you, this type of condition you cannot find. Okay? So, I rejoice too, because most of you are now very, very motivated. Yeah? You have the faith. And if you continue to sincerely strive on with heedfulness, not long, you will understand the Dhamma. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Forty-one. Then we got outstation people too. Maybe it's meant to be, because tomorrow we are going to Sumero. Saturday. Sorry, I every time get that date wrong. Sorry, Saturday. One more announcement before I forget. I sent the WhatsApp wrongly. I said, Friday, Dhamma talk, Klang tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Next Friday, 26. Please make a note. Don't go there and be disappointed, then say, what the hell, Brother Teo also make mistake like that. Sorry, I apologize. If you are there, I really apologize. But please convey the message to those who are not here, so that they don't take the apps literally, because when you send the I send the second app, some of them didn't read. That's why just now one of them told me, "Oh, I thought it was tomorrow." So please help to convey the message, especially the client group. Okay, sharing your merit, said the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati heto cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we now follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end. Thank you.